Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. Again, my name is John Kircher, and I will be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program. This program is brought to you by the nonprofit Autism Empowerment. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other special multimedia outlets. If you are interested in any upcoming shows or listening to any of the previous broadcasts, you can also see that there on archive, or you can get the broadcast podcast also on iTunes as well. If you have any information, we have all that information on the website, so that's there for you. First of all, I'd like to thank my last guest, Tony May, who is a BSA National Chair Chairman for the Committee on Special Needs. Tony was our repeat guest yesterday on Autism Empowerment Radio, or Autism and Scouting Radio, excuse me, and we talked about advancement. He'll be back a few more times the rest of the year, and it's always a pleasure to have him. If you have a scout that's on the autism spectrum and is willing to come on and talk to us and share their experiences, their likes, their dislikes, please let us know. We'd love to have them come on with you, with you as a parent or guardian. We want to be able to have their light shine. We're looking for inspirational stories that motivate scouts, scout leaders, and their parents to be prepared and to do their best. Also, if you have a personal story or topic that you feel that would be of interest or would like to talk about, you can also email me at john@autismempowerment.org. And we can talk about bringing you on and scheduling you some time to talk about the particular subject that you'd like to hear about. Next week, we're going to be talking, we have a few more broadcasts lined up for next week. One of the important ones that we have lined up is bullying and scouting. It's sad to say, but it does still happen, and it does happen in scouting. And we want to take a look at that, because on Wednesday, October 10th, is the National Unity Day. And October is the National Bullying Prevention Month. So make sure you get on that day, especially you break out anything that you have in orange and wear orange that particular day, because that's obviously the color. I'm really super excited about today's show, though. Up until this point, we've had a lot of different scout leaders that have come on, talked about the Boy Scouts of America. And I really wanted to have more access to other types of scouting units out there. And we do have more planned out there, because it's important for people to know that autism and scouting is not just about the Boy Scouts. It's about Girl Scouts. It's about all different types of scouting. It's about supporting scouts no matter where they are in the entire world, in whatever scouting unit that they're currently in. So today we get to switch gears a little bit, and we actually get to talk specifically about Girl Scouts. This is an area that Autism Scouting wants to help provide more support in and better resources. Our return guest today is Lindsay Foster. Lindsay is a mom. She's an amazing mom of three scouts, I should say, one of which is a girl who has Asperger's. Lindsay is an amazing leader herself. She's not only a Cub Master for the Boy Scouts, but she's also a co-leader for Girl Scout Troop 2702 out of Texas. She has a lot of amazing things to say, and so let's go ahead and bring her on and talk to her as quickly as we can. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi there, John.
It's good to have you back.
It is great to be back. I am very excited to be here today.
And I'm totally so excited about talking about the Girl Scouts, because this is something, besides the Girl Scout cookies, which my wife and I absolutely love, is something that a lot of support needs to be focused on, because I think there's a lot of girls out there that really need, that are, first of all, probably undiagnosed, but really need that additional support. So why don't we go ahead, what's the biggest difference, because you have one, you have a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout, and a Girl Scout. What's the biggest difference between the Girl Scout program and the Boy Scout program that you see?
Well, probably the most noticeable difference, other than that Boy Scouts sell popcorn and Girl Scouts sell cookies, is that Girl Scout units tend to be organized more by grade level, whereas Cub programs are developed in packs and dens where you have multiple age levels meeting together. And Boy Scout units, obviously you have boys 6th grade on up, 11 years to 18 years old, mixing together. In Girl Scouts, the traditional model is to have a grade level or a couple of grade levels or an age level of girls as a troop. So you can either have a Daisy troop, which would be kindergarten and first grade, a brownie troop, second and third grade, junior troop, which is fourth and fifth grade, cadets are sixth, seventh, and eighth, and then seniors are ninth and tenth, and ambassador Girl Scouts are 11th and 12th grade. And once the girl reaches 18 years old, she becomes an adult Girl Scout and ages out of the program. So that's the primary difference.
As far as how they're organized, from my understanding, the Girl Scouts really promote inclusion versus specialized units. Is that correct?
That is correct. They very much promote an inclusionary program to the degree that you can have an inclusionary program. Certainly there are units available. If girls wanted to form a special needs unit, that would be available to them. It just depends on what the troop leadership wants to do, what the membership in that troop wants to do, what accommodations people are willing to make. Now, my specific troop, 2702 in Saginaw, which is a suburb of Fort Worth, we have what's called a multi-age troop. So we take girls from many grade levels, and we treat it much more like Boy Scout units than we do the traditional role of Girl Scout units. Many Girl Scout troops, the standard size of a troop is 5 girls, 2 trained adults who are unrelated. We have 30 scouts and a leadership team of 8 with 2 main leaders and then 6 assistant leaders. And so we're something of a unicorn in our council because we are very much different than a lot of traditional units. But we have accepted families. We have twins. We've got sisters. We have cousins. And we don't split families in our unit. But many units either say the leaders want to work with a certain age group, so they are Daisy leaders, and when the girls end their first grade year, they move on and fly up to brownies, they move to a different troop, and their leaders stay, and the troop retains, and they just get new Daisies, or the leaders, like, for example, may decide that they want to grow with their girls, or the leader's daughter is in that troop. And so they start out as Daisies, and then they just grow to brownies, and they never take on new Daisies. And then they grow to juniors, and they never take on Daisies or brownies. And they just grow with their girls until the troop either graduates or the girls decide that they want to do something else.
So that's interesting, because that's very structured. I mean, that's definitely a different kind of structure versus a traditional, like, say, Boy Scouts type of
unit. It is very different, although our specific troop runs much more like a Boy Scout unit than it does the traditional Girl Scout format.
Now, as far as your daughter has Asperger's, Are there any other girls in your unit that have any other special needs?
Yes. We have another girl in our unit who has Asperger's. We have a girl in our unit who has dyslexia. We have several girls with ADD, ADHD. We have one who is probably PDD-NOS. We're not really sure. There's a lot that goes on with her. She just is a different kiddo, and they really haven't been able to stick a label on her. And we have one who has Downs.
And what kind of training does your leadership have? Because that's a lot of different types of kiddos with a lot of different needs.
It is. It absolutely is. It's that we have taken a lot of a supplemental, what we call leadership enrichment. Our leadership team takes training from a variety of resources in our council, as well as other Girl Scout councils. In fact, I just got back from an event called Trailblazers in Central Texas Girl Scout Council in Austin that is a leadership enrichment weekend. And I have taken classes. I've taught and facilitated classes there as well. And we work together as a team. The leadership team meets during the summer, and we take the girls' goals and plan out the year based on what the girls have said that they're interested in. The benefit to having the multi-age level troop that we have is that we can provide programming to girls at any level. Girls who are advanced in one topic can pursue the more advanced skills. Girls who are lower can pursue the lower-end skills. And the girls that are in the middle, there's something for them as well. And every girl has her strengths and weaknesses. Every child does. So it works out really well because everybody has an opportunity to access whatever the programming is, whatever the badges that we're working on that night or program that we're working on that night. They all have an opportunity to access it at their level.
Now, in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, there's typically a core set of requirements that the boys need to do to reach a certain rank. But then on top of that, in Cub Scouts, there's like belt loops, and in Boy Scouts, there's merit badges. Is there a core like group of requirements that the Girl Scouts need to make to receive a particular rank of
Absolutely. The program now is focused on what we call journeys. It is three different programs that are focused on various activities. One is called It's Your Story, Write It, and it's about telling your story through your point of view, through film, through media, through writing, through poetry. There's one called It's Your Planet, Change It. That's more of the environmental focus on clean air, clean water. And then there's one called It's Your World, Change It. And that is an advocacy-based program teaching the girls to be leaders and to be advocates for themselves and for their world. And then supplementary to that, they just changed the program this past year. They took out the badges. They had badge handbooks, and the girls earned badges in a similar way that the boys earned rank. And now we have what are called proficiencies. And you do five requirements, and you earn a proficiency. And the journeys are tied into specific proficiencies that help you earn that journey. And then you have to do at the end what's called a take action project, basically a community service activity. For junior level, there is a specific community service-oriented project that's the equivalent of the Arrow of Light called the Bronze Award. At the cadet level, it's called the Silver Award. It requires more hours and more planning by the girl. And then for seniors and ambassadors, there's a Gold Award, and that's the equivalent of a Boy Scout Eagle. But the requirements and the hours required are much more stringent than an Eagle. It has to be pre-approved by council. It has to have a minimum of 80 hours put in. You have to have a log that says you've logged 80 hours towards your project, 50% of which have to be actual project implementation. And it's a little bit more stringent than the Boy Scout Eagle. A little less known than the Boy Scout Eagle, but that's the equivalent award.
80 hours, that's quite a bit. I mean, I've known
yes,
some...
Yes, it is. And that's the minimum. That is the minimum number of hours. Most goals have more than that.
Yeah, that's a lot. Because I know some Eagle projects have been very minimalist, if you would. But then other Eagle projects, obviously, a lot of them are very, very intense. And
sure, absolutely.
But 80 hours, that's quite a lot of time. Is there any accommodations or adaptations that the girls can have if they can't do a particular part of the requirement?
Yes. There's not an outlined format like there is in the Boy Scout Advancement Program. There is much more leeway within Girl Scouting to accommodate the girl, because you have the opportunity as a leader to read the journey, to read the badge requirement for the proficiency, and to say, this is the intent of the learning, and you can find an alternative activity that meets that intent that allows the girl to earn that badge. So there's a lot more control at the troop level and at the member level than there is in BSA for that sort of thing. Now, obviously, for something like a gold award, which has to be council-approved, pre-approved before you start it, there are accommodations made, but the encouragement toward the girl is that she plan an activity that is within her ability level that still meets those requirements for gold.
That totally makes sense, because you don't want to put something that's not obtainable for that girl. Okay, switching a little bit, do they still do merit badges and that kind of thing too, still, right?
Yes, we call them proficiencies now, but
okay. Now, you were talking to me off the air about one particular one that your unit did.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell our listeners about that one?
Absolutely. We developed the Beautiful Minds Triad for our girls when they were brownies, because we had the two girls who had Asperger's in our unit, and some of the neurotypical girls were not understanding why the other girls were different. And we didn't want to get into specifics. And so we knew that we had one who had dyslexia, and we knew that we had a couple who had Asperger's. And so we looked at some programs that talked about kids with differences, and we developed the Beautiful Minds Triad, and our girls did it as a troop's own triad. And we have it on our website. It's available for purchase, and troops all over the country and some all over the world, we've gone as far as Singapore, have done this program with their girls. And I have to say that it is one of those things that's an amazing thing to see a child try to get out of one chair and into another chair. It emulates getting out of a wheelchair, and they have to go from a high spot to a low spot but not use their legs. Or the section that talks about dyslexia, we had the girls on rotation, and the little girl who had dyslexia was sitting at the end of the table, and we were passing a passage, and it's all gibberish. It's just garbledygook. We're passing it around, and the girls are passing it, and I said, just try and read one sentence. See if you can read one sentence of this. And the girls are trying to read it, and they're saying things like, this is not English, it's Chinese, it's not real, it's pretend. And they pass it down to the end of the table where the one little girl who has dyslexia is sitting, and she read the entire paragraph, word for word. And the other girl's jaws about hit the table, and they're like, how do you know what that says? And she said, I have dyslexia. This is what reading looks like to me every day. And she was giggling and smiling and just so proud of herself. And it was one of those moments where your heart just explodes. And we had never said anything to the other girls about the fact that that particular girl had dyslexia. whenever we asked the girls to read things, we had always given her the information in advance so she would have an opportunity to practice. And it was at that moment that some of the scouts in our unit said, well, no wonder the little boy in our class doesn't want to read out loud. He has dyslexia. He goes to dyslexia class. And if it looked like that to me, I wouldn't want to read in front of everybody either. And so they began to empathize with their classmates because they suddenly understood what it was like to be different. And we talked about, can you see a disability in a person? And they said, well, yeah, you know, at the beginning of the evening, yeah, you can see disabilities in people. You know, you can see someone sitting in a wheelchair and you can see someone with no arms. And then we talked about, we opened up, well, can you tell that someone is blind? Can you tell that someone is hearing impaired? Can you tell that someone has autism or is on the autism spectrum? And that, it was at the end of the evening where we revisited that and we talked about what is it like for people with autism and why do some of our scouts have this problem? And we just said there are scouts in our unit who have this challenge and you don't need to know who they are. And the girl said, well, who is it? We said, can you tell who they are by looking around the room? And no one could point out one person. So we said, if you can't figure it out on your own, we're not going to tell you. It doesn't matter anyway. You just need to know that there are people who have these difficulties and you need to be aware of it so that if you see someone who's struggling, you know that they need help and it doesn't matter what kind of help they need. So it was really a fantastic way to open the door. It's been an amazing, amazing thing for us as a unit and for our scouts.
Well, that's amazing. I have actually dyslexia, and I was one of those ones that went through all of that. I was undiagnosed going through all the way through school, so I can totally empathize with that one little girl. So, that's awesome. Do you have? Can we put the link to your page up on Autism Scouting for other units to kind of take a look if they want to be able to access that?
Absolutely. We would love that.
I took a look at the page. It's a great page. Lots of green on it, obviously, for the Girl Scouts. So.
Yes, it's very green. And it is, even if you're not working on the Triad, the activities are just a lot of fun to help kids understand what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes. And they're just fun activities to try.
That's a huge thing because we're looking, Autism Empowerment's looking to do what's called the Pursuit for Autism Acceptance sometime in April, a couple times. And it's basically where we're going to have different stations, kind of similar to what Sean Williams did in Illinois and kind of what you're doing there in Texas. And it's kind of one of those things where people can really come and access and find out what it's kind of like to have autism.
Mm-hmm.
So that I totally commend you for pushing that type of program. Let's get back to your girl because you told this story to me before about I'd ask you about what her biggest challenge was and how she overcame
mm-hmm.
it. And I absolutely love this story, so I'd love for you to be able to tell the story about her biggest challenge and how she overcame that.
Oh, you know, I love to tell the story, and I'll probably choke up because I do every time I tell it, but it is, to me, amazing. My daughter is a Girl Scout. She sells cookies every year, and every year it's a challenge because she very much sees the world in black and white. There is no gray for her. So we have to go through talking to strangers is okay because it's cookie season and mama's there, dad is there at the table, and we can approach people. And she had set the goal to sell 1,000 boxes of cookies. And in our council, when you achieve that goal, they've increased it to 1,200 this year, you earn what's called diva status. And you get to go on a special trip, and you get a special patch, and it's a big deal. So she had decided she was going to sell 1,000 boxes of cookies, which for any scout is a challenge. And a scout in a troop of 30 girls is particularly a challenge because when you're doing booth sales where you're direct selling to people, you have to work with a partner, and so you're sharing the cookies that are sold, you know, if you sell 60 cookies in an hour, you get credit for 30 boxes. You don't get credit for all 60. So it's little chunks at a time. And we had gotten to the last weekend of cookie sales, and she was 150 boxes away. So she went to the tabletop on Saturday, and she sold about half of that, a little less. And she knew going into Sunday that she was 81 boxes, I think it was, short. Might have been 84 boxes. So we had set up a tabletop booth at a local grocery store. And we had driven to the grocery store, and there was a little girl there in a Daisy uniform and her mom. And the store had double booked us with another Girl Scout troop. And my daughter took a look at the little Daisy, who had never sold cookies before, was just a kindergartner. And my daughter said, let her sell here. The rest of the troop is at the mall. We can go there. So we left the grocery store, and I got on the phone and called my co-leader and said, we're on our way to the mall. This is what happened. And get ready, because we're coming. So we set up outside of the Build-A-Bear workshop, which at the time was allowing us to sell cookies in front of their storefront in the mall. And we were right outside of the children's play area. So Mary Grace loaded up her wagon, because we were schlepping cookies in and out of the mall in wagons, and she was walking around the children's play area selling boxes of cookies, one box at a time, to the parents who were sitting there while their kids were playing. And that was fine until the kids threw up in the play area and they cleaned out the play area, and nobody was allowed to be in there while they were detoxing it. So at this point, Mary Grace was still 50 or so boxes away, and two other girls in her troop had agreed to work the booth that day, and they both already had earned their diva status and were well over 1,000 boxes of cookies each. But they had opted to stay and help promote Girl Scout cookie sales so that Mary Grace could earn her diva status as well. And they said they would donate whatever boxes they sold. She would get credit for all of them. So they'd been upstairs in the food court singing songs and shouting and sending people downstairs. And then the person threw up, and Mary Grace was pretty upset, and they came downstairs. And so they all were catching people as they're coming off the elevator and bringing them. And at this point, we know that we're about 50 boxes away. And the girls decided that they would start shouting at people in the lobby as they're walking through the mall, will you help buy two boxes? She's 50 boxes away from 1,000. Will you help buy two? So they start challenging people. Will you buy a box? We're at 49 boxes. Can you help make it 48? And they start selling one box at a time to people. And most people will commit to buying a box of Girl Scout cookies if they think that it's a doable goal and they're helping people. So we get down to about 20, and the girls start hawking people from, I don't know, 200, 300 yards away, and they're shouting, there's one more coming. The leaders at the table were shouting how many boxes were left. And it went 20, 19, 18, 17. We got down to the last two boxes of cookies. And one gentleman was saying no, and this lady, and I don't know her name, but her picture is on my co-leader's phone still, almost 2 years later. She bought the last two boxes.
Very cool.
And we took her
picture.
Got
to that thousand.
I don't know who was prouder of that moment. I don't know if it was Mary Grace for selling 1,000 or the woman who bought the 1,000th box. Meanwhile, my husband was posting stuff on Facebook, and all of our friends were calling the house and saying, we'll buy cookies, we'll buy cookies. Mary Grace ended up with 1,000 boxes and 42 because of the 42 boxes that came in after we left the mall. So I encourage people not to wait till last minute.
I want to thank you so much. We have about 30 seconds left. And one thing about that story which really intrigued me was when she went to that first store and gave up her spot. That was, I mean, to me, you know, they say a lot of kids on the spectrum don't have empathy and sympathy. I mean, that just totally blows that myth away right away. So I just want to thank you. You got 10 seconds. Anything left to say before we go?
I would say the next time that you see a little girl selling cookies, if she doesn't look you in the eye, don't say no just because she doesn't look you in the eye. There may
That's
be a reason
exciting.
For that.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day, and we'll definitely have you back on. Thank
Excellent.
You much. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.